DBHDD is reminding Georgians that the 988 Lifeline can help those worried about opioid and stimulant misuse. The three-digit number is free and confidential. Help is available 24/7. More information at opioidresponse.info.
Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. This podcast has the latest reports from the GPB News team. You can send us feedback or your story ideas to georgiatoday@gpb.org. Today is Monday, March 17th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, dangerous storms sweep through Georgia over the weekend. Georgians show up to protest proposed cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs. And if you get a text message about an outstanding highway toll balance, be wary so you don't become the latest victim of a growing scam.
That increasingly become a little more threatening. You've got one more day. If you don't do this, the police will show up. That increasing consequence to kind of try to play on your fear.
These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Dangerous storms swept through Georgia over the weekend. West Georgia's Paulding County saw significant damage. Paulding County Sheriff Ashley Henson says 14 homes were damaged by trees. No one was seriously hurt, though. As cleanup continues, Sheriff Henson says to watch out for scams.
We're seeing a lot of roofers, a lot of tree work folks, and they're coming in, handing out cards in neighborhoods. They actually came to my house. We've got a lot of damage at my house. So don't get scammed. Do not give anybody any money before they do any work.
The National Weather Service has confirmed that it was an EF1 tornado with winds of 105 to 110 miles per hour that touched down in Paulding County late on Saturday. We are also aware of a tornado that destroyed a community center in southwest Georgia's Mitchell County. This legislative session, most Georgia lawmakers hardly have approached the topic of abortion head-on, and that's a departure from just a year ago. At the same time this year, bills introduced in both chambers to protect abortion rights have stalled. As GPB's Sophie Gratis reports, that hasn't stopped rallies from constituents on both sides of the issue.
The rallies took place a week apart at Liberty Plaza near the state capitol. First was the March for Life.
Good morning, everybody.
Governor Brian Kemp said he supports life at all stages, but made no promises of tightening Georgia's ban on abortion past 6 weeks of pregnancy. Meanwhile, Kelly Brooks from Tallapoosa says she wants more support for expectant mothers. Brooks, like many who oppose abortion, nearly had one. She supports the over $1 million in taxpayer dollars sent to non-medical pregnancy resource centers every year.
If I had have had that at that time, it would have made all the difference in the world. I probably would have never made it to the clinic.
A week later, a much smaller group for reproductive justice opposed those, quote, fake clinics and Georgia's abortion law, which activists and some medical providers say isn't clear and leads to risk.
It's not fair.
Amber
it's
Thurman
right.
died from a mismanaged abortion in a hospital. Her mom, Shanette Williams, says she's lost all trust in her elected officials.
The only thing they can do at this point, change those laws, and help other women.
She'll keep advocating to protect women in cases like Amber's until that happens. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis at the state capitol.
Dozens of veterans and their advocates protested proposed cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs outside the Cobb County VA on Friday. GPB's Sarah Callis has that story.
Demonstrators outside of the Veterans Affairs Clinic in Cobb County say they are concerned about the direction the country is headed in. Vidya Barnett, an Air Force veteran, says that she is worried that the 80,000 proposed job cuts in the VA will impact her care.
And I'm a veteran with PTSD and other health issues. I get my mental health, my therapy from the VA. So just the thought of losing that and I serve my country is it's scary.
Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins confirmed in a social media video that the department is planning to lay off 15% of their staff, but will not make cuts to health care or benefits for veterans. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Marietta.
Close to 200 people brought their concerns about President Trump's policies to the Warner Robins office of Republican House member Austin Scott today, GPB's Grant Blankenship reports.
Congress is in recess, but Scott was not in the office. So people like Maggie Boxey, a disabled veteran from the South Georgia town of Fitzgerald, put their questions to an empty chair draped with a blue blazer.
I would ask the congressman to explain to us in simple language why billionaires need a $4.5 trillion tax cut. And how will that benefit my husband and I, who have 34 years of military service between us?
In an email to GPB, Scott said he wishes federal agencies had been consulted before cuts made by the Department of Government Efficiency, but that he supports agencies now working with DOGE. The email also said Scott will meet with constituents, but not when or where. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Warner Robins.
The FBI says during the first 2 weeks of March, its Internet Crime Complaint Center received more than 1,500 complaints about the Peach Pass scam. That was more complaints about the annoying text messages, telling people that they owe a highway toll balance when they don't, than the agency received in the previous 14 months. And it's more than just annoying. The FBI says people have reported losses totaling more than $3,000, although the actual number is believed to be much higher. Many people getting these messages don't have Peach Pass or even live in Georgia. Needless to say, Peach Pass, the electronic toll system managed by the State Road and Tollway Authority, has issued many statements telling people that they will never send text messages about toll violations and urging people not to click on any links in such messages. That advice also comes from cybersecurity expert John Powell at the Atlanta accounting and advisory firm Moore Colson. He spoke with GPB's Chase McGee.
John, can you tell us a little bit more about what this scam is?
You know, when I think about these tech scams, it's just a new variation on an old tonk. The same goal is to get you to click something. A lot of times fear-mongering or to be alerted that, oh, I'm going to be in trouble if I don't do this. So playing on your fears and then the repetitiveness of it. And even they're getting more authentic, right? But you can still kind of tell that is clearly not from someone that is with the state of Georgia.
And these scams, they seem to like create trends where they stick around. They might come from a different state or you might get the same text a couple of different times. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think it's volume. What we see with a lot of these is it's volume. And, you know, if you get it a couple days, you got 5 days to pay, right? Then you kind of get down, 2 days to pay. And I think they increasingly become a little more threatening, if you will, of the consequences of you've got one more day. If you don't do this, the police will show up or you'll be charged, you know, thousands of dollars, that type thing. So that increasing risk, that increasing consequence to kind of try to play on your fear.
Yeah. And so what should people do when they get a scam message like this? Is there any way to report it?
There are a couple ways to report it. And I can't, you know, I can't speak to how effective that is. You know, I know on at least the iPhone, you can, you know, swipe it and report as junk. I hope that does something. There's some consumer protection agencies that you can report numbers to, but I don't know that it must be doing something because somehow, you know, the FBI got alerted, right, that this was happening. So somehow they got alerted and were able to push out a notification from them. And, you know, I tell my sweet mother, I say, just assume it's not real and call me. Just assume somebody's out, you know, like that's not a real thing. And let's talk about it before you click on anything. And I tell her the same thing I'm telling you guys. Don't click on it. Just open the app up or go to the website. Just think we're fighting an uphill battle and just assume it's not real and then go through the normal channels that you might use.
That was cybersecurity expert John Powell at the Atlanta accounting and advisory firm Moore Colson. If you choose to file a complaint with the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, or IC3, that's at ic3.gov, be sure to include the phone number that originated the text message and the website listed within it.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Lisa Young Alston, daughter of civil rights leader and former U.S. Ambassador Andrew Young, died on Friday at age 67. The cause of her death has not been announced. In a statement, her family expressed gratitude for the outpouring of support while also asking for privacy. Andrew Young spoke about his daughter at a sermon at First Congregational Church of Atlanta, United Church of Christ, yesterday.
He'd come by the house almost every Sunday after church and sit there and counsel me. And she was worried about me getting old and how I was going to deal with the problems of old age. And it was a blessed time. But it won't stop now.
A Howard University graduate, Young Alston worked with Inspire DU Atlanta, a nonprofit focused on digital literacy. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens and Morehouse School of Medicine President Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice were among those honoring her legacy. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone, especially in Savannah, where one of the oldest and largest Irish celebrations in the U.S. takes place each year. The day is a holiday for many people in the city. Public schools and many offices are closed as people trek downtown for the St. Patrick's Day parade. This is sound from that parade this morning. The day, as always, included many traditions, starting at 6 a.m. with a land rush for parade goers to get the best spots along the parade route, a mass at the Cathedral Basilica of St. John the Baptist, and many happy gatherings of friends and family. This was the 201st St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah. Like New York, Boston, and other cities with a large Irish cultural heritage, Savannah owes its link to the Emerald Isle to being a major seaport, welcoming many immigrant communities in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And that'll do it for this edition of Georgia Today. We have many of the stories that you hear on this podcast available at our website, gpb.org/news. We'd like you to hit subscribe on this podcast so you can stay current with us in your feed. Send us feedback. We love the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Email georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.